Hey there, Dave here, and I got a question for you before we start today's episode of Top 3. Are the patrons of the Tube Network unsung heroes? While I sing about them, figuratively sing, shout about them, I want you to think, are they unsung heroes? Do they deserve to be mentioned in this episode today? They are Chris Nelson, Zulgeek, Chris Copleen, Eric Guess, Rick Firestone, Nick Ficori, Jill, Jeff, formerly Jerf, Kieran, Soccer, ZNA, Cupcake, Kyle, Christian S., Matt, aka Stormageddon, JD, Doug Leaf, Jason Emery, Brian Skirsha, Randall, Jake Martin, Jenny E., and many more. These unsung or very sung heroes, depending on your perspective, have all gone to patreon.com/realDaveJackson to kick a few bucks a month my way and help support the show. We appreciate you very much. And if you would like to be like them, if you would like to have your name in the songs of the bards, yeah, we're going to go with that. You can go to patreon.com/realDaveJackson as well. And with all that being said, let's get on to the show.
And this is a top three podcast.
Three,
two, one.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a top three podcast where we honor the time-old tradition of listing our favorite things and arguing about it. My name is Dave Jackson. I'm your host, joined today by Aaron Angle.
I was muted. What's up, y'all?
Aaron Bloodbath McGrath Angle. Good, good. We're off to a good start. We're also joined today by Alan Susan B. Anthony Dollar. What's up, Alan?
Hey, y'all.
Bloodbath could not make it today. Bloodbath is out. What's Bloodbath doing? He's so busy that he can't join the podcast. What's he out doing? I forget.
We're not. You guys are tuning in. You're listening. We appreciate these ears. Bloodbath has not figured out the internet yet. And I know what your first thought is. It's like, it's 2027. So like, why hasn't he figured this out yet? It is 2024. Why hasn't he figured this out yet? And the answer is he does not care about this podcast. Go Pellies.
I was hoping you would say something like, oh, he's out getting his like scrotal sack largened or something, but instead you went for a personal attack.
Yeah. So, okay. Have you ever seen, it's not a personal attack if it's true. And also, have you ever seen the sight of a shorn scrotum? It's breathtaking.
It's breathtaking. Yeah. So instead of Bloodbath, well, this was always the plan anyway, but our guest will be pulling double duty today as the fan favorite and our special guest, a top three enthusiast, Jordan Parks. Welcome back to the show, dude.
Hey, double dude. I'm excited to be back, man. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Jordan is the only one of us who has a last name that is a sentence. Like, his name is a sentence, which is very funny to me.
That's exactly right. If Jordan does one thing, Jordan Parks.
Parks. Parks, bro.
True. Good to carve out a niche for yourself. Jordan was a guest on a previous episode of the show. We did top three video games that we want to see re-released. That was the gist of that episode. It was episode... What episode was that? It's way the fuck back there
50.
Now.
Episode
55.
Yeah. Damn it.
Top three retro video games we want re-released. So that was a good time. So really happy to have you back on the show today. We're going to do top three unsung heroes. If this is your first time listening to the show, the way it works is we've all picked our top three, except for Alan. He's going off the cuff today. We're taking turns going around 3, 2, 1, lightning round honorable mentions, and then some listener write-in top threes, as always. So let's start out by defining what is an unsung hero. Where are you coming at with your list here? Jordan, this was your topic that you brought to us. So where's your mind at with this?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, for all of the different things, I mean, we went broad on this one, right? So it could be a person, a place, a thing, right? Any noun that doesn't get as much love as it could or as it should. And so these are, you know, hardworking people or, you know, people who have nailed what they do so hard, and yet they're not going to be on any Mount Rushmores anywhere, you know, but they deserve to be. They need their flowers. They're long overdue for their flowers. So it's not to say that, you know, people on this list might not be successful or known or creative. At least that's the way I've been thinking about it personally. But like, even still, it's just like some people are so good and it's easy to take for granted. And so that's what this episode is really about.
Right on. That is probably going to be like one of my things on my list. I think I went more general with my list, like a type of person or something like that, rather than one specific person or one character or something. Alan, Aaron, what are you guys thinking?
No, I'm kind of the same way. Like my whole thing is just, I don't really look at this as like, I don't know, unsung. And we talked about it a little in the pre-episode discussion, is unsung is what makes this like such a vague and broad open thing. With my list, I have one like you, Dave, where I'm like, this type of people do not get enough recognition. But I think where we can all agree is that specific point. People or characters or real life people who do not get the recognition they deserve for their contribution to something great. Like, you know, I have a sports person on my list. I could not pick a sports person on my list if their contribution didn't lead to a championship of some kind. Like, right. Mm-hmm. So my sort of criteria is that this person or these type of people, like, they lend themselves to being a part of something really huge. And like Jordan said, they don't get the credit for, you know, or at least they are undermined when it comes to like people talking about the result.
Fair enough. All right. Well, let's get this started. Unless Alan has any complaints to register this week.
No, man, I'm happy about everything this week.
Hell yeah. All right, let's go. So my number three unsung hero, so I have on my list, just a little tease here, I've got one profession, one specific person, and one type of person on my list. And then honorable mentions, of course, where there are no rules anymore. So my number three, this is a profession of for my list. I'm going with translators, localizers, interpreters, anyone who can help somebody understand something that they would normally not be able to understand, whether it's a, I play a lot of video games, so a lot of my favorite video games I would not be able to understand at all without these people. And the appreciation I have for them grows over time as, you start to realize like, yeah, somebody wrote something really amazing, but it was in another language. So then another person who's also a very good writer and is like great in both of these languages is able to take something out of one culture and context and put it into a culture and context that resonates with me in particular. And I think that that's just fucking awesome. And then you go on down the line, like professional translators, interpreters, anyone who's doing like ASL interpreting or something like that, unsung heroes. Like, you don't hear people shout them out very often. I try to, of course, again, with video games on Tales from the Backlog, when I'm usually talking about Japanese games, but yeah, no one fucking gives them their credit. And I think it's like just such a key thing in so many disciplines and all that. So yeah, that's my number three.
Yo, dude. And I'll tell you this, like without interpreters, without something like that, you would never know what Shohei Ohtani was saying in a post game interview. You know what I mean? That's where I go to that. And in like, you know, I recently got into baseball really hardcore last year out of nowhere because the Orioles were like finally good or whatever. But it is amazing to like one of the really cool things about baseball is like, let's say there's somebody like on the mound who does not speak English. When the manager goes out to talk to that person on the mound, they bring the interpreter with them so the manager can, you know, correctly like say what he's trying to say to this specific person. So, and I would even say, and I don't mean to take anything off anybody else's list, but you could extend this to like teachers or like people who teach. And I think that would also be like because they're like severely underpaid and so important to society that like you could also kind of loop them in with this. But like, I love the answer, Dave. What these people do is they make things accessible to you that would not be accessible without their, like, you know, without them doing their job. So love the answer, dude.
For sure. I deal with translators regularly. I mean, we're required to provide them in court anytime someone has English as a second language. They're critical. I mean, like, we literally, nothing can function without having them in court if someone is not like a native English speaker. So, I mean, like, translators are unsung heroes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They get treated like shit too, because no one really understands how translation works. And like, yeah, you expect to be like closed captioning, but that's not what translation is. You know, so it's like there's a real back and forth. It's an art form.
Yeah. I mean, you bring up a great point, which is like trying to take things that are in such a cultural context and then, you know, try to find the closest equivalent. That kind of like stretch, and it's sort of keeping, you know, they're keeping one foot in two canoes, and they're trying to keep them together. And it's such an impossible task. And yet these people are out there doing it all day, every day. Yeah, no, great call.
Yeah, like the one that always comes to mind for me is I'm a huge fan of the Yakuza game series, and those are like very funny games. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So those are like really funny games, and it's incredible to me because they're funny to me, but they were not written in my native language. Somebody had to take humor from another language, translate it, change like some context that I wouldn't understand because I'm not Japanese, and then make it funny for me. And they do it, and they are like perfect at it. And it's just a really like critical thing. Like it's really easy to not do that well, I feel like. So
yeah, there's the specific example from Yakuza that I love where they're talking about people from the Kansai region of Japan, you know, and they're saying like, oh my God, they have, you know, these very funny accents. They sound like they're from the country and not from the city. And the way that they do that in the English dub of the game is they give themselves American Southern accents when they do it.
Yeah.
Because that's the closest equivalent. They're like, I'm from Kansai. And you're like, oh my God. Okay. Like, I get what they're doing. I know what the joke is. Like, right, we have that joke.
Yeah. So that's my number three. Across all kinds of media, across, like Alan said, even in like the real world too, these people are doing, it's a difficult job. It probably pays like shit. And like Alan said, people don't understand it. They just know when it sucks. So that is why my number three for unsung heroes is translators, localizers, interpreters, and things like that. So Aaron, what's your number three?
I'm going to get my sports one off the list right away, because when you know, Jordan came to me with this topic, my first nine that I thought of were different athletes. Like, right, like I feel like I could probably do this entire list just talking about athletes, but I'm going to go ahead and talk about one specifically that I contributed to a championship team that contributed greatly to one of those teams. I'm going to go with a Pittsburgh Steelers fullback Dan Kreider. So, I think if anybody knows anything about football, the fullback position is dead. Doesn't exist. You won't have it anymore. It's gone forever. But yeah, one of the things the Steelers have always been known for is this tough, you know, grinding, like, you know, 4 or 5 yards at a time style running game. And for a long time, the Steelers, even after other teams had stopped using a fullback, used a fullback. Dan Kreider, while he wasn't Mike Allstott or anything like that, he was the prototypical, you know, run it up the gut, hit the fucking middle linebacker kind of fullback. So the Steelers during this time frame, they won 2 Super Bowls. They were constantly in the discussion of maybe the greatest teams in football, but they were still able to maintain that like old school football, like offensive like mentality. So imagine this, you're a linebacker. You look at the Steelers offensive line. You have Jeff Hardings, Marvell Smith, Max Starks, Alan Faneca. You have a wall of just the maybe some of the best linemen to ever play the game. And then, like, let's say you tricked one of them. The person right behind that was Dan Kreider. And let's say you tricked Dan Kreider. The person right behind that was Jerome Bettis. So, like, I really feel like Dan Kreider, like, he really contributed to had like how good the Steelers running game was in the early 2000s. I'm not going to keep going on and pining about it right here, but Dan Kreider did make one really important play on the Steelers, like run to their first Super Bowl when they played the Seahawks in the Super Bowl in, I think it was like 2005. Dan Kreider threw the lead block that led to Ben Roethlisberger's rushing touchdown in that. So I think at least in that era, at least, you know, even overall, like fullbacks have always just been unsung heroes because they do the dirty work, right? Like not every fullback is Mike Allstott. Most fullbacks are hey, I'm the first line between you and the running back. And if you think you have a hole open, my job is to close it. Dan Kreider has two Super Bowls. Pittsburgh from 2000 to 2007, I believe. But like, we, you know, there are a lot of like unsung heroes on those Steelers championship teams. But if there is really one that like nobody will ever remember who they are or what their name is and what they contributed to that offense, it's Dan Kreider. And it's not even close. So I'm going to stop right there. Pittsburgh Steelers fullback, Dan Kreider, number three.
Man, I don't know if I've ever heard you happier talking about a sports topic on this podcast. And yeah, let me just tell you, I am sick to my stomach right now.
Yeah,
so I'm going to go ahead and say that I agree with you. You could basically throw any fullback on here not named Mike Allstott as an unsung hero. Mm-hmm. Maybe like Lorenzo Neal.
Sure.
I think there's one left in the NFL and he's famous for being like, he's like the last fucking white rhinoceros or something like that. So the guy on the 49ers. But yeah, the fullback in general is just an unsung hero of a position. You get into a car crash every single play. You're going to get the ball one time a game. They're going to ask you to get 1 yard. And if you try to get 3 yards, they're going to put you on the bench.
Yeah. You ain't playing 1 yard. World. I could have put out my fourth wide receiver. What the fuck are you doing trying to fight
exactly.
here?
Yeah. Yeah. So that it is a thankless position. There are a couple of extremely thankless positions on football teams. Fullback for sure, unsung heroes.
Now Jerome Bettis, that was the bus, right?
Correct.
Yes, sir. Honk, honk, the wheels on the bus go.
That's the one name I recognize and all that.
I gotta tell you, Jerome Bettis, dude, never would have become a top 10 all-time rusher without Dan Kreider there fucking filling that one gap he needed to fill. You know, that's a Dave's right. It's a thankless position. You don't get. I think I was reading like Dan Kreider stats, and it's like he had two rushing touchdowns in like 9 years, and he had like 9 carries, you know, had like a career rushing, like a rushing total of like 90 yards or something like that. But yeah, Dave's right. It's a thankless position. And to one Steelers championship team, Dan Kreider meant a lot because Ben Roethlisberger at that time, he was a not a rookie, but basically, and he wasn't who he ended up becoming. Like the Steelers relied on that running game. Like, right, they really, really relied on that. And Dan Kreider was a fundamental piece in that sort of successful offensive system. You know, I could have talked about Will Allen, Ohio State safety, like that guy contributed. You know, I could have talked about Larry Foote. But these people, to me, they don't seem unsung. Like, you know, like people know, like Steelers fans know who they are. If you talk about Dan Kreider, they're, you know, 24-year-old Steelers fans that are like, who? You know, so I feel like he best fitted the mold for this idea as a sports unsung hero.
Oh yeah. Dan Kreider career rushes, 32 rushes in a 10-year career and 144 yards. So if you're doing the math, that is an average of 3 rushes per season for 14 yards and 0.2 touchdowns each season. So yeah, thankless, incredible, unsung, position there. So Aaron's number three, Dan Kreider from the Steelers. Alan, what is your number three?
My number three are garbage men or garbage people. I don't know. I didn't know what the proper term was when I wrote it down.
People.
And I'm not talking about like Aaron Angle. I'm not talking about like a garbage person.
You're not talking about trash people.
Yeah. I'm talking about the people, the good people who come to my neighborhood and they pick up my trash that I make in my home and I leave it outside for them. And God bless them, because if without them, it would stink. Everything would stink like Aaron It would be terrible. But thankfully, that's why they're my number three.
I'll sing that bad.
You do not sing terribly, Aaron.
It's a good pick, man. Like, instead of having lots of different small places kind of smell bad around the city, there's just one place that really fucking smells bad, but everywhere else is cool.
Quiet, right?
It's my room.
Yeah, it's yeah, man. It's why you get that cheap rent on your house, because the dump is your backyard.
I love this answer, Alan. This goes back to the groups of people who deserve to be recognized that aren't. These are nameless faces. Like, you're not gonna, you know, be like, you know, I'm picking Garbage Man, but more specifically, I'm picking Earl Smith, 1992. Downtown Baltimore Garbage Man. Or like, you're not saying like the garbage people in Paris last year during like fucking garbage man strike.
Let's the guys be real, there though. Did that, you know. Earl did put in work though.
Oh yeah. Oh, no, shout out.
Yeah.
If there was a Mount Rushmore,
I say unreal rookie season too. I mean, really. You're making me think of, there is a Scrubs episode. I loved like the first, I don't know, three or four seasons of Scrubs. And there is this brilliant episode where, yeah, the whole point is like doctors love to get patted on the back and told they're so important. But there are all of these other people, and it's garbage, you know, it's his garbage collector that is the, you know, kind of teasing him the whole episode. And that's what it says. I mean, at the end of that episode, they're like, do you ever say thank you to these people? And so I was like a very guilty high schooler watching that episode. I'm like, so now every time I see one, and I'm usually off at work, but if I ever see one, I'm always like, hey, thank you. Like, I appreciate you.
Yeah. You gotta tip him at Christmas, dude.
Dude, that's my parents put out gifts for him at Christmas time.
Yeah.
Legit.
Yeah. If they do good work, Like, yeah. You know, and they aren't appreciated.
Yeah. I ask is they collect my trash on the day they say they will, and they don't run over my mailbox. And so far, perfect. Great job, everybody.
Almost 100% across the board, yeah.
Yeah. Good pick, Alan. Garbage collectors, good pick. Also, famously, probably get paid more than you think, and they're in a union, and
union job, dude.
So, that was Alan's number three. Jordan, what is your number three?
So I'm realizing I went very in a kind of a different direction from the rest of you. So like I was such in a sort of a movie headspace I was sort of dreaming up this idea. We got the Oscars on Sunday as we're recording this. And so it's like I was thinking of a lot of like artists and performers is where my head was kind of at when I created this. So number three, I got to go early Reese Witherspoon.
Intrigue. Go on. Pop off, dog. Hey, listen, I'm a Reese Witherspoon gal. Go ahead.
Dude, okay. So, like, I, unshockingly, I'd spent most of my sort of early years going, like, who cares, right? Like, I think of her, I think of, like, Sweet Home Alabama and, like, kind of, you know, these more throwaway rom-coms and stuff like that, right? And then I went back and actually just started to dig into her career and that early career specifically, like Pleasantville, Election. She's great in just a little bit of American Psycho, a couple episodes of Friends, and then 2001.
Yeah. Yes.
Say Legally it. Blonde.
Well, okay.
Legally Blonde, dude.
Great movie. Not only a great movie, spawned a great Broadway musical. She was in Cruel Intentions. And that movie is crazy, dude. And she's great in that
movie. That movie is incredible. It had a very profound impact on me.
Dude. Sarah Michelle Gellar at that time, dude. If we did Sexual Awakenings, that might be up there, you know?
Top three Sexual Awakenings, yeah. But honestly, it was watching Legally Blonde, like, I don't, 3 or 4 years ago, right? Like, I've never seen this movie. There's no way I'm going to like this movie, right? And putting it on, and she is so just devastatingly committed to this character. And the movie treats her with such respect. She's never, you know, she is who she is, and the movie never, like, trounces her for it. And her ability to bring this, like, seemingly shallow character to life and, you know, bringing these layers to her character. I mean, really just like was like, whoa, what is this? You know, so that's when I jump back in and watch like Election and some of these like more bizarre media roles that she's had. And it was just like, she's so good. It's easy to forget. Like, it's easy to lose track, you know, and she's great now and, you know, all the stuff that she's doing. But like, yeah, early Reese Witherspoon is my pick. Who out there is praising early Reese Witherspoon?
Oh, Jordan, I'm in here. Reese Witherspoon is very funny, but my favorite Reese Witherspoon moment is it doesn't Dave Chappelle talk about that in the Chappelle Show era? He's like, who the fuck is Reese?
It's Renee Zellweger.
Damn it. I always get my squinty-eyed white girls confused. That's on me.
Who the fuck is Renee Zellweger?
No, who the fuck is Reese Witherspoon? Bidger. I don't know. I'm on one, but I'm with you, Jordan. Nice, like, you know what I mean? I don't think you have to make constantly like, and not everybody is Daniel Day-Lewis. You know what I'm saying? Not everybody gets to pick and choose, you know, what they do and things like that. But I'm with you. Like, you know, if there are people that are out there hating on Reese Witherspoon, I'm like, okay, so you just don't want people to be happy and successful. Got it.
Yeah. I mean, sincerely, if you have not watched Legally Blonde, I challenge you to watch it with like just a fresh pair of eyes. Dude. Yeah, it's very solid.
It's a good movie. Like, and I'll tell you this, it's not like one of those movies that's like good. Like, you know, I mentioned earlier, like it spawned a Broadway musical. Do you know how hard it is to get the funding for a fucking Broadway musical? Those things basically break even. You know, like, you know, I watched the Tonys one time and somebody was like, oh, I want a Tony. Thank God I can buy a dishwasher. Like, you know, so it's just like, it's like one of those things where it's like, and let's be completely, completely frank here. Reese Witherspoon in that era could have been, like, was maybe the biggest actress outside of like Jennifer Aniston or, you know, whoever. But like Reese Witherspoon has had a really good, like she's had a really successful career making movies that don't, you know, naturally appeal to me. And I think there's something to be said about that. So I like the answer.
Right on. I'm looking at the IMDb. I have seen, I've seen Legally Blonde. I agree. That movie's good. But I don't think I've seen anything else. And especially, oh, I saw Walk the Line. That movie's, that was okay.
Oh shit. She's yeah, awesome.
She's June Carter in Walk the Line. But other than that, I trust you, Jordan. I hadn't even heard of half of these movies. Yeah. So Jordan's number three is specifically early Reese Witherspoon, but then we expanded it to just any and all Reese Witherspoon. Shout out. Big fan of the show. Big fan. Mm-hmm. So my number two, we'll stay on the specific people and staying in the acting world here. And Aaron, I hope you're ready for this because my number two is one Timothy Meadows.
Oh, number two. What a good answer, dude. What a good answer. Pop off. I got stuff to say, but pop off.
Okay. So Tim Meadows, rarely the starring man. He got like, by my count, and you know me as someone who's seen basically every movie and remembers everything about them, starred in maybe one movie, right? The Ladies' Man. He probably starred in something else, but like not your general
leading man. Yeah,
not what you think of as a leading actor, and his IMDb page would probably reflect that. The one movie that I know of that he starred in, very funny movie, but he's in so many other things as a side character. Every time he is in a scene, he steals the fuck out of the scene that he's in. He is just, he's one of those people I think we've talked about it on the show before, but he's one of those people that just like anything he does is funny to me. He can just like the camera could just cut to him and he like smiles or something. And that's funny. His smile is funny. Everything about this man is funny. So, I specifically think of like his role in Walk Hard where he has like, I don't know, five lines in the whole movie. Like he has like five scenes where he does like the drug bit. That's basically all of his lines in the whole movie, but they're so funny that that's what people remember about that movie. But like when you think of it, when you think of like your favorite comedic actors, nobody outside of this podcast thinks of Tim Meadows. I know that we do, but I think that he's an unsung hero all the way back to SNL, other stuff that he's been in. He's never got huge parts and stuff, but he always just kicks ass in everything that he does. So that's my thing.
I am Julie's piano. I am Julie's piano. And I'll say this, like, to me, this is the most, like, okay, so if we did top three, like, unsung, like, players on Saturday Night Live, Tim Meadows would be my number one, and it would not even be close. Like, you know, I think there's something to be said about, like, how they, who do you got? Who's more unsung than Tim Meadows, dude? Okay. So, right. Exactly. So, like, my kind of thing with Tim Meadows is, like, I'm with Dave here, like, 100%. I think he is everything you see him in. He is really, really good in Saturday Night Live. I mean, he's got to be one of the longest running players in that show, and the only real, like, recurring character he had was the ladies' man. But he was in Mean Girls. And he was awesome.
He was the principal.
He's very funny.
He has, again, another thing. He's got like four scenes in that movie, but they're very good.
I did not leave the South Side for this shit.
Yeah. I will keep you here until four.
Yeah, dude. No, he's great. And, even in, like, you know, you go back and you watch SNL before, you know, the Will Ferrell era, Tim Meadows was in that Adam Sandler, David Spade, like, you know, Rob Schneider area. I mean, I think that guy was on SNL in the 80s before it even got really popular. And he, you know, I think there's something to be said about SNL just constantly having, like, one black guy to fill all the black guy roles. But, like, at the same time, like, Tim Meadows was really, really good at that. He slid into that. Chris Rock did the same thing. You know, Michael Che, as much as I hate SNL today, like, Michael Che kind of slides in that role as well. But, like, dude, Tim Meadows is fucking brilliant. I love the ladies, man. I love Dewey Cox. I love Mean Girls. Like, you know, you look at his, like, even if you go outside of SNL, you look at this guy's resume, and it's just like, okay, so Tina Fey loves this guy. Okay, so Will Ferrell loves this guy. There has to be something, there is something to be said about, like, what his role is. And I think this is the perfect podcast to talk about Tim Meadows, because he is the unsung hero, I feel, of SNL. Like, you know, he's the unsung hero of Mean Girls. He's the unsung hero of Dewey Cox, Walk Hard. All of these brilliant things Tim Meadows has played a part in, and I love him for it forever. So, great answer, Dave. I didn't think about him, but this is one of those, like, you should have, Aaron. How did you not think about Tim Meadows?
No, great call. I mean, he is one of those performers that, yeah, even as a little kid staying up late to watch Saturday Night Live, I just was always so drawn to him. I mean, he's so accessible and silly and playful.
Charismatic.
And charming. Like,
yep.
Yeah, I mean, he really is a very specific blend, you know, of just likable. It's easy to project, you know, your like onto him, you know, and then he's a silly Billy after that, after you sort of immediately he hooks you, and then he's just the silliest guy you ever did see after that.
Well,
great voice, super great timing. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
mm-hmm. No. And that's the one thing that comes with all, like, comedic acting is, like, how good is your timing? How good you are at delivering these lines that are seemingly either nonsensical or very simple. Like, that's kind of what SNL, that's kind of like what all these SNL spinoff movies have always been. I really, just, well, you know, I really don't want to get a hangover. It doesn't give you a hangover, Dewey. I've already got a lot of other problems. Like, you know, I don't want to get addicted. Dewey, it's not a habit for me. Yeah. And, you know, I'll tell you this. One movie we didn't talk about is Semi-Pro. Tim Meadows is fucking hilarious in Semi-Pro.
Very
funny.
Yeah.
The Ladies' Man has one of my favorite all-time, like, favorite meta jokes using the trailer of the movie. Do you guys know the joke I'm talking about?
Maybe, but go on.
So the trailer for the movie The Ladies Man featured a very prominent sight gag of him staring at a woman, turning and, like, walking away and walking straight into a light pole, right? It's a very funny, like, you know, joke in the trailer. And I saw the trailer, like, all the time. In the movie, right, they know that you've seen the trailer with it, and they play with it. So he looks at the woman, he's like, "Hi, ladies," and he turns to walk, and he's about to walk into the light pole, and then he stops, he turns to the camera and says, nope, not today, and just moves on.
So good.
Dude, it's, I was so, so surreal. Good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got a lot of ladies man SNL quotes in the chamber, but I'm like, you know, times have changed.
Yeah. So. Yeah, for sure. But he is very funny in those movies. And yeah, he crushes the role in Walk Hard and Mean Girls. So yeah, worthy of my number two. Once again, that's Tim Meadows, number two unsung hero. So Aaron, what is your number two?
I'm going to keep this train rolling with weird people and shows that don't have enough credit. I'm going to say my number two is Amy Sedaris, who was in Stranger to the Candy. I tell people all the time. People like ask me about like what are some of my favorite sitcoms, what I think are some of the funniest shows of all time. Strangers with Candy to me is perfect. It is the perfect television show. Amy Sedaris is so good in it. And like Amy Sedaris has done, so my number two is Amy Sedaris, like 100%. This is it. I think she is one of the funniest people of all time. And I just feel like as we go along our lives, like that sort of like absurdist style humor is not, I don't know.
That's marketable. 100% not true, dude. Not true.
What do you mean?
You just don't like I Think You Should Leave. That's what that show is.
Dude, fuck, dude. Shit. Okay.
Got him, dude. Got him. He fell right into that.
No, I mean, I'm right. That show sucks. But like, okay. So
boo,
we're David.
Boo this man.
No, I mean, great half-baked quote. but no, I just do not think that sort of TV show can. And the difference between I Think You Should Leave and Stranger with the Candy is like I Think You Should Leave is a variety show. It has
yeah, it's skits. A sketch show. Yeah,
right. Exactly. So like, but to me, like. I have always said, like, to me, the funniest woman of all time is Amy Sedaris. And the reason she is because of Stranger with the Candy. I could even say, like, you know, there were so many, like, weird shows on Comedy Central, like, during that era where Stranger with the Candy was going on that don't get the recognition they deserve. But Stranger with the Candy was the best one. And Amy Sedaris, who is she? She's David Sedaris's sister, like, you know, so you have like I would really like to meet like their parents and be like, how did you come up with a guy who is really good at writing, like, you know, novels, and another chick who's like, I'm gonna play a fucking, you know, old dirty skank on Comedy Central. But like if to me, I'm looking at like, you know, unsung is a word, but I really took underrated in that's kind of the way I'm kind of viewing this. Strangers with Candy is a all-time sitcom to me, maybe my favorite sitcom of all time that nobody ever talks about. And Amy Sedaris is so brilliant in that show that I have to talk about her. She's done lots of things. Like, she was in the fucking Mandalorian. Like, you know, she has done things that are big and things that are small and blah, blah, blah. But I feel like I don't know, at the in that era of what Comedy Central was doing, I think Stranger with the Candy separated itself by being like a really good television show. And Amy Sedaris is the driving force behind that. Stephen Colbert, that's how basically he got started. Paul Dinello, who writes for Stephen Colbert on his late night show. Now, like, these are like comedic actors and actresses, like taking their first jump into trying to popularize whatever they're doing. And, you know, on Comedy Central, and Comedy Central is like totally dead now. Like, nobody gives a shit about Comedy Central, but there was like a heyday of Comedy Central putting out really good television that nobody talks about anymore. And Strangers with the Candy is one of those ones where I'm like, why does nobody care? Why does nobody give a shit? And Amy Sedaris was, to me, the best character in that show, drove that show to its success, and why I think that show is so good. So I'm going to chill right now, but number two, Amy Sedaris. She's brilliant. Nobody ever talks about her. Deserves some recognition. Number two.
Strangers with Candy was funny, but I think that's the only thing I've ever seen Amy Sedaris in.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, the only thing I got is I've watched like one clip of Strangers with Candy that Aaron like forced me to watch at gunpoint like 15 years ago.
Jordan.
Oh, well, and the movie is great, too. If you guys haven't seen the movie.
Oh, it's so good.
Dude, I'm here for you. I could not love Amy Sedaris more if it was my job. Like, super unsung, like, great in The Mandalorian. Like, I don't know what provoked Jon Favreau to think of her as this, like, we need a silly Star Wars mechanic. Yeah. And he's like, oh, I know, Amy Sedaris. Like, it feels like such an inappropriate call. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's like hiring Ira Glass or something like that. Like, it's like, why did you hire them? Like, but she is so charming, so silly, so playful. And yeah, I love the movie Strangers with Candy even more than I love the show.
Well, it's a great movie. And I'll tell you this, I have three DVDs in my possession right now. And it is the three DVD box set of seasons 1 and 2 of Strangers with Candy. Like, I don't know. I just, like, you know, whenever I meet anybody that also likes that show, I'm just kind of like, okay. So it's like the same thing with, like, Malcolm in the Middle. Like, I almost picked Malcolm in the Middle for this list as, like, an unsung hero of, like, you know, that era of you know, situational comedy. But to me, Stranger with the Candy is like the one show that I'm like, this, it's like that, South Park, The Simpsons, all three of these things kind of contributed to what I find funny and, you know, what I look for in my comedies. And I just think nobody talks about, like, Strangers with the Candy is literally, we did a list, top 50 TV shows all time. That it's probably like 7. Like, you know, I hold that show in such high regard, and I hold Amy Sedaris's contribution to that and contribution to the things I sort of find funny. Like I said, Dave, you say I Think You Should Leave is like this, like, really great absurdist show, but I think the difference between that and Stranger with Candy is, like I said, like, it's sketches, it's skits. Like, they were able to do this over 24-minute episodes forever, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. You guys don't care. Richard the Kitty. I love Amy Sedaris, and I love that show, and it does not get enough recognition, and neither does she. So, number two.
I love that you love Amy Sedaris so much, but I just I need to ask you why you picked it as 7 out of 50.
Oh, okay. So what is, I'm very high, all-time TV shows, 7. I think there are,
but instead of 7 out of 10, I'm just, I just have to know.
Well, because it's an important thing. If I'm going to talk about the funniest TV shows of all time, I should have a list that's more than 10. But, like, if I was going to say, like, you know, top 10 funniest shows of all time, or top 10, you know, total shows of all time, Strangers with Candy is there somewhere. I feel it's very underappreciated as, like, what it did.
You know, Alan, 7 out of 50, 7 in the top 50 is the same as 7 in the top 10.
You
threw a boomerang at me right now. I was just like, right. Okay, I have to explain this.
Let's move on. Let's go to Alan's number two. So that was Aaron's number two, Amy Sedaris from Strangers with Candy. So, Alan, what is your number two?
My number two is Squirtle.
Squirtle.
Incredible.
Go on.
Right. So I feel like, and I went with underrated with this one too, right? So everybody always picks Charmander, and I understand why. He can set things on fire. And eventually, he's going to be able to fly. What's not to like? A lot of people like Bulbasaur. I don't like them, but they like Bulbasaur. And I get it, because it makes the first couple gyms really easy, right? I mean, it makes the game easy. I get it. But Squirtle, I feel like there's value in Squirtle. And you ask me why, and it's because all of the in-betweens, right? The first gym, sure, you get the advantage. But all the in-between areas, Squirtle, that's where you get the advantage with Squirtle. And people don't recognize that. So that's why my number two on this list is going to be it's Squirtle.
If I can throw another point in Squirtle's corner, there was no Charmander squad. There's no Bulbasaur squad. But there was the Squirtle squad. They had cool sunglasses and everything.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is like, did Charmander's friends have sunglasses? Oh, they didn't.
Mm-mm. Oh, they didn't.
Really weird.
Lame.
Super strange, lame. Dude.
Yeah, no Riz, dude. No bitches.
Oh, man, that Squirtle squad was fucking getting bitches, excellent. Dude. Here's what I like. Yeah, that's like you couldn't keep those hoes off of the Squirtle squad. But okay, so this is why I like this answer, is because like Squirtle is obviously like what, like one of the 6 or 7 most popular Pokemon ever to exist ever. Like anybody who likes Pokemon knows who Squirtle is. But like the big difference is like at the beginning of the game you got 3, and I agree with you, Alan, to where like Squirtle was probably the one that people chose the least, and that's why I accept it as like an unsung. I gotta tell you this right now, motherfucker, when I got a Blastoise for the first time, mm-hmm. I didn't have the same feeling when I got a Venusaur. I did not have the same feeling when I got a Charizard. This motherfucker evolves with cannons. Are you kidding me, dude? I love this answer.
Art machine, Aaron. It develops iron cannons in its back.
Heavy artillery through natural selection.
We're 130 years away from snapping turtles evolving to having like a fucking EP7 from Goldeneye. You know, we're close. We're getting there.
Dude, Hydro Blast?
Right.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah. Surf? Are you kidding me? Like, you know, Squirtle is a, you know, I feel like water Pokemon are very safe. You know, it's a very safe bet. But you know what the best water Pokemon is? A fucking Blastoise, dude.
Dude, I could not agree more. I think that's a great call. Squirtle is exactly, he's the bottom of the top, right? Like Aaron said, you know, most people kind of know who Squirtle is. But yes, he is not on the top of anybody's list. He's always like, oh, yeah, I like that guy. And that's exactly the right call for this guy. I love Squirtle. I got a Squirtle shirt. I got Squirtle 1 foot tall stuffed animal, dude. I love Squirtle.
Hell yeah.
Jordan, give me your best Squirtle voice. Go ahead.
Squirtle.
That was pretty good.
That was pretty good. You were not ready for actually how good that was.
No. If you were ready for me calling you out, dude, hell yeah. Welcome to the pod, bro.
Hell yeah. Wow. Okay. So, Alan's number 2 was Squirtle from Pokemon. Jordan, what's your number 2?
Number 2. I'm doing something a little bit different here with number 2. I am doing Tiki Bar creators. There are so few things I love. There are so few things I love more on this planet than the idea. It's not even the reality of it, right? Because it's from a different generation. I did not really get to experience tiki bars. But the idea that all of these adults, like in the Mad Men era of America, were like, you know what'd be funny? We put a little thing in the drink. We put a little umbrella in there. We're chopping up fruit. We're dumping that in there. The idea of these like suave, professional, you know, people across America being like, dude, it's about hula hoops and little skirts and like playing the little.
And they got these little torches and everything. And
it's fascinating to me that idea caught on like wildfire. And specifically, I want to shout out as a proud Columbus, Ohio native. I got to shout out the Kahiki. I don't know if any of you know the Kahiki. But it was one of America's largest tiki bars, and it was located right here. My family took me there when I was a little kid. They had like fruit punch drinks that would like smoke with dry ice, and they had like volcano meatballs, and you got a little Sterno can and you got to roast your own meatballs at the table. And I just love this place. I mean, I loved it. They had one side of the restaurant, all of the windows were aquariums. The other side of the restaurant, it was all like plants and birds and like fake rainstorms hitting the windows and stuff like that. Like it felt like Jurassic Park. It was you know, like that an authentic rainforest cafe. Like it you know, in 1961 they built that. And it's just like, wow, people committing to a vision and to a theme and to this really silly thing that doesn't really exist. Like, it's not just Hawaii. It's not just like the Caribbean. It's just this like a bunch of white people being like, what if we just mixed all of this together? And it's Polynesian. And like, it, yeah, I love it. The fact that that existed at all, and the fact that I got to see kind of the end of that as a little kid, you know, just as that thing was leaving America and the sort of public consciousness, I love it. And I want to shout out all Tiki Bar creators.
Yeah, shout outs to Jimmy Buffett for making my mom wet in 1983. Hey. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the Beach Boys. It's Jimmy Buffett. Like that weird, like beachside, like fucking vibe. Yes. Like, you can't find that in Ohio. It's actually very funny to me that it's just like, hey, do you want to experience the best tiki bar, like restaurant experience that you can find? Well, you're in luck in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's, I think, like kind of what makes it brilliant is like you have people in Ohio who can't afford or don't have the time for or do not care enough to like actually go out and experience, like go to Hawaii or go to the Virgin Islands and actually experience this kind of thing. They're like, we're going to bring this shit to you. And we're going to play Margaritaville on loop for 9 hours. So I like this answer, dude. It is the unsung American hero of back when restaurants used to just be an experience, not so much just like a place you go to eat. You don't find the experience of a restaurant anymore, unless you're going to like a fucking, you know, 4-star, you know, Michelin fucking, like, those are experiences now. Back in the day, I mean, I remember I went to Florida with my family when I was little, and like somebody had, there was like a restaurant that was like it was literally like built like a fucking like a sunken ship, and I was just like, oh, this is cool. Like, you know, so I love this answer, man.
Yeah, it's like a theme park that's not a theme park, and it's just like, wow, like why did you do this?
Like, if anyone out there is a South Park fan, it's like Casa Bonita in South Park, but with the tiki bar. Yeah. So I was looking this up. Not only does the Kahiki restaurant have its own Wikipedia page, there was a fight in the Kahiki restaurant that has its own Wikipedia page. So, like,
that's right.
A big deal.
Oh, shit. I almost threw out my back laughing at that. That's funny.
Dude, it was like a race riot. Like, yeah, it was like a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Big fight in there that, yeah, caused racial tensions throughout the city. And it has its own Wikipedia page within this one restaurant. Yeah, I had no idea. I've lived in Columbus for a long time. Of course, I mean, I've not lived here since it was torn down in the year 2000 or something like that. But
yep, that's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. I had no idea. Very, very interesting. And for anyone who's familiar with Columbus, the location in like Whitehall on Broad Street to have this place is very funny to me also.
It's like 10 minutes down the road from where I grew up too. So
nice. All right. So that was Jordan's number two, tiki bar creators, owners, operators, restaurateurs, the very idea of them. Very out of the box, but very good. Unsung heroes, especially now that the age of tiki has passed, I feel like. So my number one unsung hero, this is a group of people, and it was the first thing that came to my head. My number one unsung hero is people. I actually wrote this down. People who just go about their day. They're polite to people. They don't road rage. They drive defensively. They don't cause problems for people. They just fucking go do their day, and then they go home, and they don't bother people. That is my number one unsung hero. Anyone who, like, there's a situation where you're like, you're annoyed, but you don't make a big deal about it because, like, this isn't all about you. There are other people involved. Maybe you're calling on the phone and you're not happy with like some service that's being provided. You don't yell at the person on the phone in India. You just fucking like you do what you got to do, and then you leave it at that. People who just go through their day, they're nice to people, they're polite, they tip well, things like that. That's my number one unsung hero, because nobody ever notices those people. We just notice the loud assholes that are like honking and road raging and stuff like that. So that's my number one. And I think this is inspired by Craig telling us that he road raged at somebody the other day. So there you go, Craig.
Hey, we all get pushed to points. Dave, I actually think this is a really good answer. As somebody who works in retail, like anytime somebody is just like real, like, you know, I had this lady literally come in tonight and she was like, I bought this bottle of wine and it's very, very bad. Will you give me my money back? And like, I do that. Like, I'm like, all right, you hated it. Like, I'll give you your money back. So I was like, all right, here you go. And she was just like, I just want to let you know that like somebody here told me this is really good and it's not. And I'm like, okay, well, here's your money. And she's like, I just think it's really messed up that like you don't have people here that know what I'm looking for. And I'm like, oh God, dude. Okay. You got your money back. Like, do you just want to keep talking about this? Is that your thing? Like, you don't care about the $9? Like, you just wanted to come in somewhere and complain and you know, feel justified. Dave, I'm with you. And I think it goes to even to the extent of they're just like, I think it is crazy how people aren't as polite as they used to be. Like, people don't say thank you, they don't say please as much as they should. It's just like, motherfucker, like, who raised you to just be a fucking asshole all the time? I'm sorry, I'm gonna chill. I'll literally talk for 45 minutes about how people like that actually are unsung heroes, because like, thank you for making my job easier. Sometimes, like, you know I upset people at work, and I know I can't provide the services I want to for people at my job sometimes. And it's always cool when I'm like, hey dude, I couldn't find that. And they're like, ah, it's cool, no big deal. But sometimes I'm like, oh, I couldn't find that. They're like, well, Kroger has it. I'm like, okay, well, they're a multi-billion-dollar industry, so
yeah, you can go to Kroger. It's 5 minutes away.
Right, exactly. It's right down the road. So I love this answer, because it's like, We are trying as a society, like, everybody's on edge. And since COVID, we've all been on edge and we all get it. But like, can you compartmentalize it to the point where you're not a fucking asshole to a stranger? The amount of people that I feel like are just rude to me for no reason sometimes, I'm just like, oh, shit. You have other problems in your life and you are taking it out on the liquor store guy, you know? Yeah. So I love this answer, Dave. This might be not the best answer, but like the most important answer. It's just like, guys, chill.
Yeah. So like in that story you told earlier, the unsung hero version of that would be the person who either A, buys a bottle of wine, they hate it, and they just don't buy it next time. That's where the story ends. Or they go to the store, they say, hey, this sucked, can I get a refund? And you say, yeah, here's your refund. And they're like, okay, thank you, I'm buying something different. That's it. That's the end of the story. Like, that's the type of unsung hero I'm talking about. Like, you not pushing it any further than it has to go, you know? Like, you work in the store, you want to provide good service for people. You already know that someone like got a recommendation and they didn't like it. And okay, so we'll keep that. We'll just memory bank that for later. But like, that interaction should be over, maybe even before it started.
Dude. Like, why are you? And my favorite thing is like, well, I recommend something to somebody and they come in, they're like, oh, that's gross. I'm like, oh, you have bad taste. If they don't laugh, I'm like, ah, shit. All right. This is about to be 40
here we go.
Yeah. Right. I love this answer, Dave, man.
I think it's a great answer. I will say, I disagree. I think road rage is healthy. Not physical road rage. Like, obviously, you know, you have to drive safely, but I yell at people all the time. I will flip the bird flippantly. You know, I'll just toss it around willy nilly. I think it's a healthy way to get out your aggression. They can't hear what I'm saying, you know? And so you don't drive aggressively, but maybe call him an asshole for driving so slow.
Yeah, I actually like my original idea for number one was defensive drivers, just people who are just like, you know what? I'm just going to drive safely. I'm going to get to that place 45 seconds later than I would if I was driving like a dickhead. And yeah, I'm just going to like try not to cause a fucking problem for people and also not cause a problem for myself. But then I expanded it to just be like, you know, what the answer was. But defensive drivers was the original idea.
Yeah, which exactly, it's just kind of like, dude, do you literally not have enough patience for 4 seconds if something goes wrong?
Yeah, I always love it when like someone speeds around you and then like 10 seconds later you see them at a red light. It's like, yeah, right, exactly. I hope you're happy. You got here quicker.
Yeah, congratulations, dude. Yeah.
You're making me think of, I lived in New York for a couple years. And, you know, people were always like, oh, man, are New Yorkers mean? Are New Yorkers this or that? And the answer is like, no, they're super duper efficient. They keep to themselves. Like there are so many people and so many of them are minding their own business and just taking care of, you know, taking care of business like what you're describing. Right. They just stay on task.
Yeah.
They get it done and then they get out of the way. The whole city operates that way. Right. And it's so easy to catch like this sort of flamboyant, like, oh, that's a crazy person. But like, it really is. You know, a great example I always point out is like I got off the subway one time. Right. And so there was a mom pushing a stroller. Right. And she there's no elevator. She just pushes it over to the bottom of the stairs and just sort of staring up at this staircase before I could even get over there. Two strangers just sort of emerge out of the mass, pick up the stroller, carry it to the top of the stairs. They set it down. She says, thank you. And they don't say anything. They don't acknowledge her presence. They just were quietly kind and moved on with their day. You know, somebody said that like Midwesterners are nice, but they're not kind. And New Yorkers are kind, but they're not nice.
Mm.
And, you know, nice being this sort of fake, hi, how are you doing? Right. But like just true kindness of helping people get through their day and then move on. We don't need to talk about it. We don't even really need to acknowledge it. And so, yeah, like I'm really blown away by how efficient people are in New York and how they just get the job done.
Nice. Cool. Yeah, I mean, I've been to New York City a few times. I would describe it the same way. Like the stereotype of people just being assholes and yelling all the time is completely not true. So, I mean, there are people yelling, but you know, you get that many people together, you're going to hear someone yelling. That's just,
yeah. Don't
just
be an asshole. Nobody will yell at you. I promise.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, get out of the way. Like, don't stand in the middle of the sidewalk. No one will yell at you.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Yep.
Okay. So that's my number one. Just you know, people who just do what they're trying to do, try to get through every day, be nice to people. That's it. Aaron, what's your number one?
I am so glad nobody said this. This to me was the very first thing that came up on my number one is Yajirobe from Dragon Ball Z. 100%. And I even told Jordan when we were talking about this idea, I was like, oh yeah, like Yajirobe, right? And he's like, I don't know who you're talking about. So Yajirobe is a piece of shit. He sucks. He's awful. He's like maybe my least favorite character in like that era of Dragon Ball Z. But he has this moment where Goku and Vegeta are fighting and you think Goku is done. You're like, all right, this is where they end the show. It's the last episode. The bad guys win. And Yajirobe comes out of nowhere with his fucking samurai sword and cuts Vegeta's Uzaru tail off to get him out of his Saiyan monkey form or whatever. Mm-hmm. But when I remember like watching like, you know, TV, like, you know, I'm big TV guy. I'm like, blah, blah, blah. That moment where Yajirobe, like you haven't seen Yajirobe in 16 fucking episodes, 25 episodes. And then all of a sudden this motherfucker comes out with his goddamn samurai sword and saves the day. I was like, that was like the first big TV twist moment in my life. Like I was like 11. And I was like, yo, what, dude? So, I'm trying to explain it. Anyways, Goku and Vegeta are fighting. Vegeta takes his Uzaru form, turns into a giant fucking ape thing. And you're like, okay, Goku's dead. There's no saving him, you know? And Yajirobe literally comes out of nowhere, cuts off his fucking tail, brings him back to human form. And all of a sudden, Goku has a chance again. I'm telling you, when I'm thinking about all of the different, like, just wild card factors in bad guys getting their comeuppance, dude. Yajirobe out of left field, off the top corner, dude, coming in and fucking saving the day. I was like, word? You ain't gonna give that to Krillin? Sure, whatever. Which, by the way, Krillin was going to be on my list, but then I remembered the Yajirobe thing, and I was like, oh, okay. So
that's even more unsung than Krillin.
Right, exactly. Like, everybody knows who Jordan doesn't like Dragon Ball Z, but I'm sure he knows who Krillin is. Like, you know, Yajirobe.
I love Krillin.
Yeah, of course you do. Krillin. He's great.
Destructo Diz.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Jordan. Hey, all right. Time I gotta pop off my shirt. I didn't think I was gonna hear Destructo Disc tonight, but my number one immediately when Jordan said this list, and I told him on our phone call while we were talking, I was like, yeah, Jerobi, right? He's like, I don't know who that is, but this to me is like the biggest out of nowhere unsung hero in terms of like what they meant to a, it's like the Dan Kreider thing. It's like, what did you mean to a victory over what you consider a bad guy? Yeah, Jerobi, out of nowhere, worst person in the world. And I'm just like, you know what? Yeah, Jerobi's probably pretty cool. So I hope I've been saying his name right the whole time, but in the moment when I knew this was going to be the top three, I was like, dude, yeah, Jerobi has like the coolest unsung hero moment of all time in any media that I've consumed. So I'm going to stop there. Number one, yeah, Jerobi, Dragon Ball Z. Not even close. Very cool. Terrible nice. Character.
Yeah, but it came up clutch. I mean, he scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, he's Cedric Wilson, kind of. Yeah, good point.
You reminded me of Yajirobe's role. I haven't watched Dragon Ball Z since I was a kid, but I did love it, and I'm glad that we're talking about Dragon Ball Z just one day after everybody learned that Akira Toriyama died.
R.I.P., so dude.
Quick R.I.P. to the absolute legend that Toriyama was for Dragon Ball Z, as we're talking about here, but his role in designing characters for Chrono Trigger, which is a lot of people's favorite game of all time, Dragon Quest, which is like an entire nation's favorite series of all time. So absolute legend right there. And the designer behind Yajirobe, that moment you talked about, that's Toriyama. That's his story.
I got to tell you, this is very funny because I was thinking about like, you know, impacts, because I don't give a shit about movies anymore. Jordan's like, Sunday wouldn't be great because me and my fiance are watching the Oscars. I'm like, oh, man, I don't give a fucking shit about the Oscars, dude. But what it lends itself to is like what made a huge impact on me as a viewer watching a TV show. And I had the same feeling seeing Yajirobe cut off Vegeta's tail as I did learning that John Locke wasn't actually John Locke. It was one of those like jaw dropping, like, yo,
spoilers
what
for Lost.
Bro. Yeah, right. I'm going to tell you this right now. If you
season
don't know,
five is ruined, dude.
Bro, I'm going to tell you this. If you ain't watched the season five finale of Lost right now, I don't care if you're mad that I spoiled that for
you. Oh man. All right. So that was Aaron's number one. Yajirobe from Dragon Ball, specifically the moment where he helps out in the fight against Vegeta. So, Alan, what's your number one?
Hang on.
Is it also Yajirobe?
My number one is also Yajirobe. No, my number one. Quick, Gus, stop. Be an asshole. My number one. Unsung hero is women. It's International Women's Day, gentlemen.
Woo-hoo.
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah.
And I cannot fucking tell you how underrated the women in my life are. You know, I work surrounded by women. I work in offices. I've worked in offices my entire adult life. And offices are filled with women that work in support staff. And I work in an industry that is dominated by men, and they don't get respected in the workplace. And it's a shame because, and in particular, I'm going to throw out a name here. She is my she was my secretary at my most recent job. And, the woman has done this job for 30 years and she does it cheerfully every single day. And people treat her still because she's a secretary, like she doesn't know what she's doing. And I just find it wild because you see it everywhere. And I just, I felt the need to shout out women out there. You know, keep it up. You're doing great. Everybody does appreciate you, even if not everybody shows it. So everybody, do a little bit better. Tell the women in your life that they're doing great, that they're doing great work, and that you love them.
This is great answer.
Hell yeah! Yeah.
Two things. David, great answer.
Like two things. I hate women.
No, yeah. Two things. Number one, great answer. Perfect. And especially any top three listeners out there that are women, fantastic. We love you. And number two, I thought you were going to set up an elaborate joke about Aaron's mom there, and I'm very proud of you for not doing it.
It's fucked up you didn't, because I'm setting up an elaborate your mom joke. I got to tell you guys, I love women. They're great. They do a lot of things, but Alan's mom specifically. Best woman I've ever met. No, I'm just kidding. Alan, this is a wonderful fucking answer. There are, you know, I think we really could have taken this into like a marginalized groups conversation. And you know, to a degree, I'm like glad we didn't, because it's almost like a Michael Bumpus kind of conversation where it's just like people who are marginalized who don't get the credit they want to get. But this is a wonderful answer. And if you were like one of those, like, you know, I talk to people sometimes and I'm just like, you know, like, you know, girls have it harder, you know, and that's just the way it is. And they're just like, well, you know, my aunt had to do, I'm just like, okay, fine. Never mind. You are not getting what I'm trying to say. But I think not only like women in general, but like marginalized groups, like, do not get enough credit for it. And I just think it's like one of those things that, like, as a society, like, you kind of have to say to give them any credit at all, or else people will not give that to them. So this is a great answer, Alan. I love this. And you're 100% right. This might be the best answer on the list. So
I couldn't agree more. Some of my favorite people are women, and that's I'm right there with you. it's so easy to take people for granted. At least, you know, I'll speak for myself. Like, it's so, when everybody's just doing a great job, it's so easy to take them for granted. And then to have that minute where you go like, oh, it's different for you. Fuck. Like, you know, yeah, I'm embarrassed. Yeah. It took me as long as it did to really wrap my head around all that.
Yeah, exactly. Because, same here. Because as a straight white man, I've kind of said this in a few places before, but like the world that I live in is kind of made for me specifically. So like understanding that not everyone has it that way was a step. So this is a good answer. Like, this is something that needs to be acknowledged. 100%.
Yeah. Well said. Hear, hear.
Hell yeah.
All right. So Alan's number one was women. And let's close out the list with Jordan's number one.
Here to awkwardly follow that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
With a silly voice, silly answer.
Yeah, I like how Dave led with a Norm MacDonald-esque, like, dry drop right there. I'm just like, all right, Jordan, yes. What do you got, dude?
Is all right, it better? Well, Jordan comes in like, my number one is crickets.
Is men. All men everywhere.
Oh shit. Facebook would agree.
No, I picked the silliest boy who I've ever seen. And that is Mr. Tim Heidecker.
Interesting.
One of the things I'm thinking about this list is people who just sort of excel, and it's easy just to have somebody who especially has a very specific flavor, right? It's easier for them to sort of get lost in the mix, in the shuffle. Conan O'Brien always talks about like show business as like a bunch of middle schoolers in a band room, and everybody's just sort of, you know, clanging on instruments saying like, look at me, look at me. And Tim Heidecker is just doing this one very particular little thing, right? And he's just sort of hitting his triangle in the middle of all of this cacophony, and just it catches my ear, and I go, wait, what's that sound? There's this very specific kind of energy that this absurd comedian possesses, and it's not just the Tim and Eric stuff, right? Like, that's obviously how I first met Tim Heidecker, is the Tim and Eric, awesome show, great job. And, you know, the first dozen times I saw it, I'm like, this just isn't for me. Like, I don't like this. It's too chaotic. It's too crazy. Like, I don't get it. And then my best friend, Bobby, shout out to Bobby. He was like, dude, I got it all on like DVD. Like, just watch it all together. And there's something about watching a body of work just in a small span of time, and you go like, oh my god, like, I know what you're doing now. This weird, absurd thing that felt so foreign to me, now I feel like I know what you're gonna say before you say it, because you know your flavor and your style is so specific. And then after awesome show, great job, he's done something called On Cinema at the Cinema. It's a web show. If you haven't seen it, there's 14 seasons of it, of these like 10-minute episodes to watch, where him and his co-host Greg Turkington sort of, not discuss movies and sort of yell at each other. And it is this, like, it's a theater experience. He always does these live Oscar shows for every Oscar. And they are literally, I mean, improv theater, where it's like 4 hours long. They always have this like, tightly scripted story, and yet they're also, it's this slow moving, slow paced thing. That's also where you get, if you've ever heard of the trial of Tim Heidecker, they did an actual several day, multi-hour, real, sarcastic trial of Tim Heidecker, where he's accused, of killing somebody and all of this. It is some of the most surreal, absurd comedy you will ever find. It's such a specific acquired taste. But if you settle into the groove, there's literally nothing like it today.
Jordan, I'll tell you this, dude, like, you and Bobby specifically, I remember, it's the same thing I do right now with like Dave, where I'm just like, I watched Tim and Eric, or I watched I Think You Should Leave, and I'm like, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't get what it is. But you and Bobby were like big, like, into Tim and Eric when I was in college. And so like, I've consumed a lot of that. And like, while I don't feel like I appreciate what they do as much as they should, I feel like there is a place, I talked about Amy Sedaris and Stranger the Candy. There is a place, a Hot Wet American Summer. There is a place for absurdist humor in our society. And like, whether or not it is marketable or blah, 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 or whatever, I literally hated Tim and Eric. I thought it was the dumbest shit I had ever seen in my entire life. But I had enough people in my life be like, no, dude, you're just being like a fucking asshole about this. Watch the show. There are subtle bits of brilliance in these things that I really can't appreciate. And I think it was, I don't know if it was like Luke or Andrew in college who went and saw him live and recorded it, and they showed his stand-up is pretty funny. Like, when he goes on stage by himself, it's still like pseudo absurdist or whatever, but it's pretty good. And if you can like get past that, like, this is weird or this is whatever, you can find something you like with what he does. So while I, like I said, it's not Dave, like, fuck I Think You Should Leave and fuck it, Tim Robinson or whatever, the Tim Heidecker, I feel like, was the forefront to doing these like variety absurdist like type things that, without that, something like I Think You Should Leave wouldn't exist. So I I don't love him, but I like this answer. You know, I think this is one of those like unsung, like comedy is subjective, and it, you know, in a way, something like this is very brilliant. So I like this answer, man.
Aaron, you'll be happy to know then that Tim Heidecker is on more than a couple sketches on I Think You Should Leave, and they're all very yeah. funny.
You read my mind.
Sure.
Very sure. funny. And right now, we're all thinking about how extra dumb you are. Like, just so dumb.
Yeah, man. No, even dude, Alan has no idea what we're talking about, and even he's thinking about it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Aaron hey, is listen. So fucking dumb, though.
Listen, I am him, right. I think you should is terrible, but I have watched enough like Tim and Eric awesome show to be like, okay, I can find something that I like. I've watched a lot of I Think You Should Leave. Like I've put
Aaron, you sound foolish.
I sound drunk, but what it really is like I've put in the time and cannot find the same appreciation that I did for Tim and Eric when I, you know, sat down and
you should watch the one where they're doing fucking charades with Tim Heidecker, because that one is very funny.
I had to Google who the guy was.
That'll be the gateway.
Tim Heidecker.
That'll be the gateway.
Is in the last season of Eastbound and Down.
Oh yeah.
he's very good at that show.
Yeah, he's funny. Yeah, it's a good pick for sure. Let's move into our honorable mentions. So that closes out the number ones with Jordan's number one, Tim Heidecker. And so quick lightning round honorable mentions. I have two. I have three. One of them just divided in half, mitosis style. My first honorable mention is Lamar Odom. Key unsung hero from the Lakers championship teams in the late 2000s. Yeah.
You didn't do sports at all for your
No,
top
not until
three.
Now. Because all the three good Browns players that were present for most of my life, everyone knows who they are because they were the only three.
Yeah. And Phil Dawson. Yeah.
Exactly. Phil everyone Dawson, knows who Josh Phil Dawson Cribbs, is.
And, Nick
and
Chubb.
Joe Thomas. Yeah.
And Joe Thomas.
So, Lamar Odom, unsung heroes. Anybody who listens to a podcast that they are not like already like super familiar with, like it's not a celebrities podcast. Anyone who listens to indie podcasts, that's what I'm going to say. So like this show or Tales from the Backlog or any number of the guests we've had on this show who do their own podcasts. Anyone who listens to those shows, like fucking, you know, the girls that did The Office, their podcast can wait. Listen to some indie stuff. There's people making good stuff.
That's right. Listen to Top Three. And Dave, I actually really like that answer. The unsung heroes of why we keep doing this are the, you know,
the people
19 to 27 people that
I was gonna
actually
say,
give a shit about what we're talking about. Yeah.
The unsung heroes of the Top Three audience are the people who have never met us in person, but still find this show to be entertaining and still keep listening. So I know there's people out there because when the show first started, it was just like,
shout outs, Joe Decahedron.
Yeah. Shout out Joe Decahedron and Snack Taku. Yeah. 100%. So, I'll cut it there. Those are two. I went kind of long there. So Aaron, what's your honorable mentions?
We're going to make this quick. Number, my honorable mention first is Ice Water. Unsung hero of the beverage world.
Hell yeah.
Number the when other one. Hot. Oh, bro, I'm telling you, man, do not talk to me. I will live longer than all of you because I drink ice water 95% of the time. Another one, the McDonald's pizza. I don't know if you guys remember this. Unsung hero of the
unsung
early
hero
90s.
Gone too
soon. Yeah, dude. RIP. And then the Trader Joe's 21 season salute seasoning.
Wow. Very good.
Unsung hero.
Very good. Excellent.
What? Do I want my what? Have you ever had that, Jordan? Oh my God, dude. So,
I literally have no idea what you're talking about.
Go to Trader Joe's.
Never go without it. Never not in my cabinet.
Bro, it is literally, it's called 21 season salute. It makes eggs better. Ramen better. Like I'm telling you, if you're on like sometimes I gotta do cheap food type shit, Trader Joe's 21 seasons.
Yeah, boy.
He's so good.
Love it.
Yeah. And then let's say,
because I talk about my list,
Mistadio from Final Fantasy Tactics. I talked about it a little bit. Yeah, yeah. I mean, don't act, don't move. Man, save the world. I don't know, man. But all McDonald's pizza specifically was so good.
Yeah. That's what they took from us. Alan, what's your honorable mention?
I got my sports ones. So I have William Green. So in 2001, he had that 60-yard touchdown run against the Falcons to get the Browns into the playoffs, and they lost in the playoffs. So no one really remembers him. But man, was that exciting. And then I have Rajay Davis, because he hit that game, that go-ahead home run against the Cubs in Game 7 of the World Series. But then they lost. So no one really remembers
such a good World Series, though. That was so good.
So like,
that's such a good World Series.
It was such a good World Series. Oh, my God. I loved it. And then the 90s Tribe players that didn't get Hall of Fame consideration that I just think are bullshit. And it's Kenny Lofton, Albert Bell, and who else did I have on here? Omar, fucking Omar. And I know Omar had the whole he got canceled thing, but the man could barehand a line drive. I mean, God, it was impressive.
Backhand to the second base, dude. And I'll tell you this, even Jose Mesa, like, he goes down in infamy for fucking everything up. That guy fucking ruled. And that's why everybody hates him now.
Man. So that's all I got. I got my sports one.
Yeah. And Jordan, what are your honorable mentions?
Honorable mentions. I got a shout out. Hideo Kojima, man.
Unsung? He's not unsung.
He's
like the most famous game developer out there.
A Disney Plus, literally just Disney Plus documentary about him. So maybe that's not super appropriate. But so many people, like, I feel like it's so easy to point and laugh and be like, look, he put a sniper in a bikini. Isn't he silly? Like, but I mean, a really just like a true, like, you know, he's somebody who's always trying through all of his games. I loved Death Stranding. I cannot wait for Death Stranding 2. It's so trippy, so different. So shout out to Hideo Kojima and all of his silliness. And then, last but not least, Rhodes. You guys ever think about that? How important that is?
I gotta tell you,
like, if your stuff can't get to you, then you don't get that stuff, and then society falls apart. So shout out to Rhodes.
If your stuff can't get to you, then you can't get that stuff.
I almost put, and I think I don't remember his name, but I think it's like Edward Jenner, and he's like known as the father of immunology in, you know, Western culture. And he basically like came up with the smallpox vaccine is the reasons why vaccines exist. So I'm like, you know, on the same line of Rhodes, like, just FYI, like, you know, people invented things a long time ago that make our lives way, way easier. But I didn't want to turn that into my top three, if that makes any sense. There are a lot of unsung heroes in terms of, like, you know, where you're coming from there.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, unsung hero, the person who invented the combustion engine. Okay, fun podcast.
GPS.
Yeah. All right, cool. So that will take us into our listener top threes, and I will get us started with Bloodbath, actually. Since Bloodbath couldn't be here, he sent us his top three, and it's
you read it in the style of Bloodbath?
No, it is a very Bloodbath top three. So Bloodbath's number three is Sam Pekenpa, who Bloodbath says is an unsung 70s grindhouse filmmaker. He says no Quentin Tarantino without him. Sounds unsung to me. Number two, Bloodbath says Larry Flint for First Amendment rights. And number one, Christian Hissori, who basically invented skateboarding as a sport. That would be a very Bloodbath top three. Thank you, B-Man. Yeah, see you next time.
Thanks for not showing up, dude, and making this podcast terrible. All right, next up is Randall, a patron. Thank you for giving Dave money. Number three, Rafael Esposito invented the cheese pizza in 1889.
Hear, hear.
Hey, yeah.
Shout out. Oh, yeah.
Did mushrooms and pepperoni not exist in 1889? I don't know. Number two, Jerry Lawson invented the video game cartridge in 1976.
Yeah.
I accept that. Cool. Number one, Thomas Crapper popularized the flush toilet in 1850. And here's the thing. That is real. That's not a joke. And that is why people call it
that
the Crapper.
Be real.
No, it's 100% real.
It cannot be real.
100%
real. I said in the Discord server when Randall sent that top three, I said, Randall, I'm not fact-checking you. I believe you 100%, and I'm not going to fact-check him now. I believe that as gospel.
Jordan, it's really easy.
When you pay a certain level,
exactly. You are right.
That is an unofficial perk on the Patreon. If you pay $5 per month, I will believe anything you say.
100%. I'll tell you guys this right now. If you're thinking about whether or not to be a patron of this podcast, you give us $5 a month, we'll suck your dick, bloodbath will. But like, you know, we will take everything you say seriously and we'll never call you out and be a piece of shit. Unless you're JERF.
Enshrine your misinformation. Yeah.
Unless you're JERF. I don't like JERF.
And then for $10, we'll make a statue of your likeness, your bust, in our closet out of bubble gum.
Yeah, and we'll put it, exactly, Harold style, and we'll put it in front of the Bulls stadium. Yeah.
In front of the Bulls stadium?
Well, next to Michael Jordan, you know.
Oh,
it's important.
I gotcha. It is important.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's me. Next up is Chris N., a patron. Ooh, hang on. Who's number three is dragonflies because they eat mosquitoes. Who are not on anyone's list of unsung heroes. Who's number two is closed captioners. Solid. That's a great answer, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, all of Aaron Angle's family members and friends. It's a tough job, particularly Julie Angle.
Mm-hmm. I do not get why people talk to me.
Unsung hero. Answer. Jim.
Yeah, no, unsung hero, Aaron's elementary school guidance counselor.
Yeah.
This is Feaster Spa. I think that was her name.
Feaster Spa?
R.I.P.
Next up, we have Matt, a.k.a. Stormageddon, patron, fun and games, screen snark, reignite podcasts. And they say, number three, any and all interpreters.
Boom.
Shout out. We've heard. Yes, we've heard this. Number two, Bloodbath's mute button.
R.I.P. R.I.P.
R.I.P. Bloodbath's mute button.
And of course, a joke that I'm intimately familiar with. Number one, Hua. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yeah, that's
Dave's wife. Yeah.
Yeah, that's my wife. Yeah. Unsung hero for sure.
Perfect.
For sitting across the wall from me while I yell and scream during top three once every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Good list, Matt. Thank you. Next up is Jeff, formerly JERF, a patron. Thank you, JERF. Number three, the rat that freed Ant-Man from the quantum realm in Avengers Endgame. You know what? Fuck Captain America. People should be talking about that rat. Number two, God.
Okay.
And number one, listeners like you.
Hey.
And an honorable mention to Matt Hasselbeck for being the only NFL quarterback who ever needed to throw to Michael Bumpus.
Good answer. And the only Seahawks quarterback who lost a Super Bowl to the Steelers. Next up, we have Doug, a patron from the Nostalgium Arcanum podcast. Number three, Beaker the Muppets. I don't get it. Number two, Brain, Inspector Gadget. I get it. Number one, Samwise Gamgee. So here, Samwise
Gamgee. Those are sidekicks.
So here's the thing. It's like, is Samwise Gamgee unsung, or is he not like the most
he's super
looked
sung.
At side character. That's what I'm saying.
He's, like, he's very he's sung. Un- he's well
the
sung.
Same way Robin is unsung to Batman.
Right, right, exactly. And this is like the hardest thing is because when I was like looking up unsung heroes and blah blah blah, all I was finding were lists of like sidekicks and people who actually contributed a lot, who get a lot of credit for it. No, no, no hate to you, dude. Samwise, like, you know, not, you know, the same tier as Frodo or Aragorn, but like, dude, like Sam's like the best character in that. And everybody knows that. Doug, I got to tell you, bro, stop giving us money, dude. I don't like you anymore.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Strong position.
I don't get the money. I don't care.
Here's the rule for, first of all, Doug, please, no, please don't leave. Don't slam the door. Don't take the lamp on the way out, Doug, please. I need that lamp.
Please, Doug.
You all are making me mad. Dude, Doug. No, I'm just kidding.
here's the rule of thumb for this podcast. If more than one person says it, they're not unsung. Of this sample size right here, that's where I'm thinking.
Yeah, Doug, you gotta
I'm already looking at the next list and RIP Doug and the next person.
That's funny. Pop off, Alan.
All right. Next up we have Ryan, a patron from the List Off podcast, who's number three is John Taylor. He played wide receiver on the 49ers opposite Jerry Rice. I think that just makes him a wide receiver. Number two,
yet another wide receiver.
Yeah,
I know nothing about football. I know that.
Wait, hold on. Have you guys considered that Jerry Rice was open all the time because John Taylor was taking three defensive backs away? Have you considered that?
No, I don't know who this guy is. I'm telling you,
so he's an unsung hero.
If he's not on the Steelers, writing notes. Yeah.
My issue isn't unsung with this. My issue is hero.
Oh yeah, true.
Next is Samwise Gamgee, aka Samwise the Brave. We just discussed this, Ryan.
Yeah, if his name's Samwise the Brave, he's sung. What the fuck? I'm getting mad. I'm getting legitimately mad about this. Sam is great, but
Aaron,
like,
you're gonna hurt yourself, buddy. I'll chill.
I'm gonna do some side stretches. It's gonna be all right.
His number one is Jack Kirby, who co-created countless Marvel characters with Stan Lee, but Stan gets all the credit. I've only ever heard of Stan Lee, Ryan. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, Ryan. I only ever heard of Stan Lee.
Wait a minute.
You're on an anti-Marvel podcast, just FYI. We don't care. Well, Dave cares.
No.
Mm-hmm. No, Marvel's all right. I've only heard of Stan Lee. Isn't he the old fella that's always in the Spider-Man movies?
He is, but before becoming known as the old fella that's in all the Spider-Man movies, he was known as the creator of Marvel along with Jack Kirby.
I heard it both ways.
Yeah, Marvel ain't special, dude. I'm moving on.
Damn. Next up, we have Snack Taku, who's a patron. Number three, the guy who added buttholes to all the cats in the musical Cats.
That's a hero. That's a real shit. Hero.
Hashtag like release the butthole cut.
Yeah, that's right. Taylor Swift, we're waiting.
Number two, the person who cooked up that scene in the trailer for Baldur's Gate 3.
Oh, yeah. That is the bear sex scene in the trailer.
Oh, yeah. All right, never mind.
The bear sex. You can have sex with a character while they're turned into a bear. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, like,
it's like a consensual
bears are having sex.
Mm-hmm. One bear, one human.
How do you think more bears get made?
And number one, the first person who tried to milk a cow. Honestly. Real hero.
Also RIP and a good Jerry Seinfeld.
RIP got kicked in the
joke
face
reference. That's right.
All right, next up is John H. John's number three is Ewoks, the real heroes of episode 6. Number two, Thanos. He says, let's face it, he's right. And number one, Debbie Does Dallas. If you know, you know. And I did not know, John, so I had to look this up. This is the name of a pornographic film.
Whoa.
I gotta tell you, for the chick in the her early 80s, man, she went ham.
John threw an honorable mention to Tesla in there. And I assume you mean the person. So yeah.
Next up, we have Mikey Tabletop. No affiliation with anything at all.
I forgot to write it down. Mikey's from the 0-2 Heroes podcast, which I was on this week.
Mm-hmm. So Mikey, Dave forgot and he doesn't care. Number three, The Devil in Miss Jones. I know what that is, but I'm not going to explain it because it's so obvious and everybody knows what it is. Number two, the opening of Misty Beethoven, which I also know, and if I have to explain it, I don't want to make Alan and Dave feel bad for not knowing what it is. Number one, Behind the Green Door, which I assume is a Twin Peaks reference that you got the color of the door wrong to, and an honorable mention to Jack Kirby, who is that guy who probably didn't do all the things you guys said he did.
Another scathing indictment of Jack Kirby.
I'm a hater.
That's what he does. Jack Kirby, bust chops.
Long time listener.
I don't understand. I don't know how. So these are the Mikey's list is all pornos. I don't know how a porno is an unsung hero. Everybody loves porn. We talk about it 24/7.
It's literally the only reason I survived junior high. Wait, yeah. did you see the Lisa Ann thing? All right, cool. Don't beat me up. Clack, clack, clack.
What?
Yeah.
Right. I refuse to expand.
All right, Alan, you got Joe Decahedra.
All right, man, I'm going to run with that. Next up is Joe Decahedron, whose number three is possums because they eat ticks. But Joe Decahedron spelled it starting with a P,
ooh,
which is the Australian version.
Party foul. Mm-hmm.
Yikes.
So is Joe Decahedron? What? Is Joe Decahedron Australian?
I don't know if they're Australian, but like, do you... Alan, you grew up in two rural
in
areas.
America,
did you not opossum. Grow up saying the word possum?
Yeah, it's
opossum. Yeah,
correct, but it's spelled opossum.
Well, yeah, but it's just, you know, this is top three. Are we using proper English
he was writing
here?
Phonetically, guys. He was writing
Dave, I spent $48,000 to learn what a possum's name actually is.
Yeah, dude. You took four classes in how to spell it. I get it.
Number two, anyone who not only picks up their own trash, but other people's trash in public places. That's how you tell good people, Joe Decahedron, or that's how you tell convicts who are out on work release.
Yeah. I'll say also people unsung who heroes. Push Those their cart to the
dudes
cart.
Dudes picking up trash on the highway.
Yep.
This is very true. And number one, all of the dinosaur appliances in the Flintstones. This is very true.
Dude.
Yeah.
If you like the Flintstones. Dude, if not, then, you know, screw them. Let them live in squalor. So.
Simpson. Homer Simpson. Oh, I thought I was next. I was going to lead. I'm not. No, I don't have an answer. Yeah, it's bad.
Dude, next up, we got Craig.
Ooh.
Number three for Craig is The Belt. He says, Aaron, write this down.
Makes sense.
Number two is me. Is me. So Craig put himself there at number two. And then
I like that.
Number one, Kirby. Kirby. I'm going. Mm-hmm. We're going.
Never hear about game Kirby. Character.
Immortal God Kirby.
Yeah.
Save the day in fucking Smash on the Wii. We talked about this, Jordan, man. Huh?
We did.
Nobody gives him enough credit for doing that.
An honorable mention is Joseph Daniel Voto, who still bangs. is what Craig says.
Still
he's on the Blue Jays now, dude. I don't.
Yeah, it's a shame he's dead to me now that he plays for the Blue Jays. Yeah, it's a
don't
shame.
Care.
Craig had a good idea. I think that we should all retroactively change our number ones to be ourselves for unsung heroes. So
I'm
good
great.
Call, Craig.
Jordan's great. Dave's great. Anyways, Alan. Who's next?
Devastating.
No, he got it right. Both you two are great. Me and Aaron. We're hit and miss.
Yeah, we're
that's
there.
That is what we're the top
it.
Three.
We're the Joey Votto of people. Yeah, like we're there.
That's what the top three polls reflect these days. Yeah. So the last one on the list is Rat Boy. Per usual, Rat Boy's number three is social media content creators, the unsung heroes of the entertainment world. Number two,
it's just on our Catholic memes all the time. Fuck yeah.
Rat Boy's number two is Funko Pop collectors. Shout out to the one Funko Pop collector that I know who's a great
shout
person.
Out to my roommate Dell. Yeah.
Okay. Two. And number one, professional gamblers, unsung heroes. And
how else? I mean, does Nevada
building in the industry?
Right. Do we want Nevada to just go away?
No. Exactly. It'll sink down into the inner crust. And honorable mention for Rat Boy, human resources.
Eat those. Nah, they can suck a dick.
Rat Boy's just trying to
protect the humans.
He's trying to curry favor so that he doesn't get fired.
He just wants to be the tube HR director, and I'm just like, dude, I'm tired of it. You do not get the job.
You can't give him that power. He can't explain an insurance plan for shit. So he can't be the HR director.
Can I pick the winner?
You can.
I pick Bloodbath.
Aw. Miss you, buddy.
That's so nice.
Psych. I pick. I pick Bloodbath.
I think you're going to be like, psych, I picked Mikey Tabletop for writing three pornos.
Yeah, for making me talk.
Dudes.
USA. Dudes, no, Bloodbath wins because we love him. And I'll tell you, if you want to win the listener response thing, man, just send Dave more money. I promise. I'll pick you every time.
Yeah. We could introduce a new Patreon tier. If you pay $7 million, you can win the top threes
every week. You could message Chris N, tell him that he's a piece of shit, and he would complain. So we would say like, oh, I'm sorry, Chris N, do you give us $7 million? You lose.
Yeah, them's the breaks. That's Hollywood, baby. So good times. Those were our listener top threes. They're submitted by people in our Discord server, which is a great place to hang out if you're looking for a cool place to talk about the podcast, but also if you want to talk about video games and movies and talk about what you're cooking and show us pictures of your pets and things like that. We would love to have you. There's an invite link down in the show notes. And crucially also, all of our things came from the Discord server because I forgot to post them in other places. Whoops. So the Discord server is the one guaranteed place where you'll hear the topics for the upcoming episodes and be able to contribute. And I know that is something that means a lot to everybody. So again, Discord server is a cool place. Now, that being said, Jordan, thanks for coming on the show again, dude. This has been a great time.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. So happy to be back. I love a bunch of goofy boys.
That is what we are. We are some goofy boys.
We're just a bunch of silly boys, dude. Yeah. I hear talking.
That's what I love. That's what I love to be a part of it. Thanks for having me back.
Now, Jordan, you're one of my best friends ever, man. I love it when you come on here, and 100% you should do Tales from the Backlog with Dave. You guys would have a really good episode.
Yeah, that'd be a good time, of course.
Dude, for sure.
And just as a little tease, we've got another Tales from the Backlog episode planned that's supposedly going to have all members of a top three podcast on it for the first time in history, recorded history, prehistory, first time, primordial history, interstellar history. It's happening. Wow. So be on the lookout for that. That episode, if it happens, will come out in like 6 months or some shit. So yeah, subscribe and you won't miss it. So that's with all right. that being said.
Joe Decahedron, give us more money, dude. It'll come out faster, I promise.
So thank you, everybody, who has listened. This has been an especially chaotic episode. I'm very drunk now. Alan and Aaron have been very drunk for this entire time.
Oh,
and,
since 4 p.m. Yeah.
I'm dehydrated.
Yeah.
I've been and, stone sober.
Yeah. Yeah. Jordan's like, I lit a candle.
Yeah. Jordan was doing this
lemongrass.
Raw.
Lemongrass.
Ooh. Yankee Candle?
No, Bath and Body Works.
Oh, Bath and Body Works. That's the stuff.
Ouch.
Now, Yankee Candle's too fucking expensive, man.
That's right.
Exactly.
I don't got $35 to spend on one candle. So, thank you everyone for listening. We'll see you next time.
Tugger's whistle's blowing means we must be going. No more top three showing for you. But don't you start to whine. We'll see you again next time because there's plenty more making fun of Alan left to do. You didn't throw it to me. I was caught off guard. You didn't. Yeah, I thought you were going to throw it
like
to
I
me.
Like I said, I'm very drunk. Yeah, I forgot. Let me. I'll put that in the next. Put that in the blank outline. let's see. All right, we're gonna write in here. Throw to Aaron for Russell Crowe song.
Making this make fun of Alan farting around the world.